Well, God bless you all tonight. I'm going to be sharing a little bit on the topic of trust. And, you know, many times we're exhorted and continually reminded of our need to trust God, correct? Yep. Like in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, as you sit there tonight without even looking in your Bibles, you can probably quote it. Mm-hmm. What does it say? I can hear you, not really, but trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall but direct your paths. And God, kind of, he reinforced that in the manifestations here just a moment ago. But I'll tell you another thing that comes right alongside of that particular verse and that particular subject matter is that God trusts us. And a wonderful brother in Christ wrote something to, and Gabe said it to Vicki and myself, and I asked his permission to share it with you. And that's what it is entitled, He Trusts Us. To be given the privilege and responsibilities to speak words that are actually alive and speak them to another human being has got to be the greatest example of trust that there is. That the Creator of the heavens and earth, who has the power to do whatever He chooses, has given you and me this honor. Wow. It just overwhelms my heart in understanding that God trusts me. I know I am to trust Him. I get that part. He is all love, all power, all wisdom, all understanding, all everything. I would have to be dumber than a box of rocks not to trust Him. But that He trusts me. He knows my frailties. He knows how much I don't understand. He knows I am growing slowly and that I stumble often. He knows that I miss many of the signs and wonders He is staging along my path. And yet, He trusts me, and He still trusts me. He is trusting me to say yes to His plans and His purposes. He is trusting me to walk like Jesus walked. He is trusting me to put on the mind of Christ. He is trusting me to feed the bread of life to His family. He is trusting me to be that light that so shines that people see it and they glorify Him. He is trusting me to always love Him and love those that are His. He is trusting me to be that beloved son, that beloved daughter in whom He is well pleased. Just pause a moment and think about how you not only trust Him, but also how much He trusts you. That was written by Bob Moser, wonderful believer, friend, and brother in Christ. I want to be looking in 1 and 2 Timothy here just for the next couple of moments. As I read that and have been meditating on it, thinking about it, you know, it causes you to wonder, you know, what are those things that God has entrusted to us and given to us to really be able to steward and to take care of? Because, you know what, God's not down here on planet Earth. He works through human beings to whom He has given quite a bit. Now, the first thing I think about is that it's that Holy Spirit which has been given to us for our benefit. And you know, rightfully so, I would think that God trusts us to operate in a mature way in the stewardship of that Spirit. God trusts us to think thoughts that are in alignment with His Word. God has expectation, let's say, or trusts us to be obedient. A number of different things along those lines. But He also knows, like Bob said, He knows our frailties. He knows our weaknesses. He knows who I am. and he knows that we're human beings, and yet he's entrusted us with some of these amazing spiritual realities. There's a Greek word used three times in Timothy. It's called paratheke, paratheke. It's used three times in Paul's letters to Timothy. And what this word means is a deposit, which is anything committed to one's charge or trust. Now, I assume every one of you on the call has some type of income. And generally, that income, whether it's a direct deposit or you go to this institution on your own, you go to this place and you do what? You make a deposit, right? And why do you make a deposit in that bank or whatever, that credit union, wherever you may be putting it? Because you believe that they're going to keep it safe, right? This word used in three times in Timothy, that's what it means, a deposit, anything that's committed to one's charge or trust, just like a deposit for safekeeping at a bank or safe. When you deposit your money in a bank, the government, believe it or not, guarantees it. Well, we got something even bigger than the government. Duh, kind of a rhetorical question. But the promises of God in the Bible, guess what? They guarantee our deposit. And not a physical deposit. It is what? Our spiritual deposit. Incredible. We are entrusted. Just like Paul, he entrusted his protege, his person that he was mentoring. His name was Timothy, who was like a son to Paul. And we want to look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And Paul gives this exhortation to Timothy to do something with that which has been committed or given or deposited to Timothy and given to Timothy. And the first place it uses in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. And in the King James, it says, I'll give you a moment to get there. So we're looking at this word paratheke, which is the Greek word which means deposit or anything committed to one's charge or trust. 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. It says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Now, we are going to get into the specifics of that last part of that verse. That could be a teaching for another time. But it's the exhortation and charge given to Timothy to keep that which is committed. Keep that. And the New King James Version and many other ones say, Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Guard what was committed to your trust. Man, it's really something. Keep that which is committed, that thing that has been deposited within you. And, you know, the book of 2 Timothy was the last one that Paul ever wrote. And so I want to look at two other records. One of them is in 1 Timothy. Actually, they're both in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. So if you want to just look across the pages, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 12, it says, For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to what? Keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The ESV says, which is why I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed to know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day that which has been entrusted to me. Boy, what a very, really cool thing to know. God is safer, bigger, more awesome, goes without saying, than any financial institution to which we put a lot of trust and confidence in, guys. Our paychecks go in there, our Social Security, other types and forms of income, because we're believing that that institution will hold up and keep everything safe. Man, how about that which has been committed to our trust? He is able to guard that deposit, that thing that hasn't been entrusted to us. And two verses down later, in 2 Timothy 1:14, this is really cool. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwells in us. Another ESV translation says, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted where? To you. God has entrusted this. You know what that's saying? God trusts us with those spiritual realities that he has given to us. Yes, it's our responsibility to steward and take care of things to the best of our ability, and he knows who we are and everything about us. But we put our best effort forward to be the best stewards of those things that God has entrusted to us. Guard the good deposit. This is that charge to Timothy with the help, or by the way, with Holy Spirit who dwells in us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Well, that sounds like pretty good advice. That Spirit of God within us, with all the manifestations, all the benefits, and all the fruit, it's that which keeps and guards that spiritual deposit. And finally, in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, we'll take a look there. This is such a wonderful and rich subject, and something I just felt like Bob was very inspired on in writing that that article, so that it's a kind of a two-way street. Yes, we trust God, but you know what? He trusts us too, and he's trusting us. And here it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things, behold, all things have become what? New. Now all things are of God. This is the New King James. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And here it is. And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Does that sound like something that God has given to us for our stewardship and something that he has entrusted to our care? Well, look at this. It goes on. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That word is used two times. Not that paraclete, but just that word committed, at least in the New King James Version. Let's see what we have in the King James Version. Yeah, there it is. Yep, he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God was in Christ, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's why I thought it was so powerful to hear those words that he spoke in the opening lines of that article that he wrote. To be given the privilege and the responsibility to speak words that are actually alive and speak them to another human being has got to be the greatest examples of trust that there could possibly be. You know, Jesus said about the words, these words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are what? Life. This is the living word. It is alive. It is energizing. This word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is the living word, the living word, that the creator of this of the heavens and earth, who has the power to do whatever he chooses, he's given you and me this honor. That God trusts us. He knows me. you know what? He knows how much we don't really understand. He knows a lot of things about us. And yet, you know what? He still trusts us. And joy, what a joy and privilege to be sort of meditative upon that, that not only are we exhorted, encouraged constantly, pretty much, to trust him, trust his word, trust in what he's able and capable to do, but also that which has been entrusted to our care. Trusting me to be that light that so shines that people see it. Trusting me to love him. Trusting me not to turn away. Trusting me to obey. Trusting me to be that beloved son whom he is well pleased. Boy, if that can be the legacy and the testimony of our daily life, you know what? We've done a lot. So, we trust him, but he also trusts us. Father, you're so good and kind to us. We have the joyful privilege, Father, of stewarding and holding and maintaining these good and gracious gifts and things of the Spirit, and we get to share it and give it away and to bless others, Father, with the benefits of what we received, and also to call them into this family so that they too can be in this gracious place to come into your throne room at any time, Father, and just talk to you and tell you anything about them that you already know anyway, but somehow it does us good to open our hearts and just to honestly pursue you, Father, pursue your wisdom, because we know you're pursuing us all the time. So I pray that we just stop long enough to listen and participate in the fellowship that you have so encouraged us to be a part of. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.